Well, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we do thanks, give you thanks and praise that we are able to gather together and be one in mind and spirit. Lord, the unity we discover is that Jesus, your Son, has been given the name above all names. Lord, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory. Lord, we thank you for inviting us in to be part of your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us humility to consider what it means for us to ask for our daily bread. And I pray, Lord, you'd be with us now as we listen and hear and obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think is the tone of that phrase, "Give us today our daily bread"? Have you ever received a text message and then just wondered, what's the tone of that message? I've been asked to come home now. Is it come home now? Or is it come home now? What's the tone behind that message? I remember back in the 90s when email was the way that we communicated and having workplace training workshops explaining that you're not supposed to use all caps in your emails. It just doesn't work. Can you imagine having been told that you can't do that? And red font is never allowed. When we ask, when we come to God and say, give us today our daily bread, what's the tone? What is it that we're asking for? And does God give us permission to ask for whatever? Is, you know, when we're asking for daily bread, what is this just a placeholder for anything? Obviously, I'm sure we wouldn't conclude that God just wants us to ask for bread, but there must be more to it. What lies underneath this request? Can we ask, Lord, to give us today our daily chocolate? You know, I know some people have sworn that dark chocolate keeps you living longer. So let's ask God, can you give us today some more dark chocolate? The Lord's Prayer is an amazing thing. An old theologian, Tertullian, once said that without exaggeration, a summary of the whole gospel is to be found in this prayer. And I hope that as we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, that you're discovering that every line has got more to it than perhaps you've imagined before. And that's our task each week, to look at the phrases in the Lord's Prayer and ask the question, what am I saying when I ask for this? We've talked to God, our Father in heaven. We've made it known that we are not calling him Father out of arrogance, but out of grace, that his perfect Son came and was the perfect Son in our place so that we can be called children of God. And so that is by grace that we can call God Almighty our Father. That we say, glory be your name, hallowed be your name, praise be your name. Why? Because God's name is synonymous with the salvation of sinners. That God has created this world, and while we've rebelled against him, his name stands by the God who loves and shows mercy and grace on a rebellious people. We pray God's kingdom come, that the name of Jesus will be known across the world, but also in my life, that his kingdom will enter into my heart. And your will be done. And last week we were encouraged that when we pray for God's will to be done, that we're fully expecting that God will do the right thing. We can trust him. We trust that when his will is done, it is going to be the right thing. And so today that leads us to our phrase, give us today our daily bread. How hard it is to pray for this little line when we have credit cards and supermarkets. Give us today our daily bread. If the prayer is simply saying, Lord, I need a meal on the table today, then there's not much energy in the prayer, is there? Because I know that there is. I know my fridge is stocked with stuff. I know that there's a Woolies just down the road. So how can we bring energy and enthusiasm into this prayer when there's no real urgency for it? This prayer might mean something quite different in a different culture or in a different time. But I think that this prayer is actually for all time and for all people. This prayer takes us somewhere universal. Is it give me? the thing that I think I need right now? Is it give them, the people in the third world countries or parts of this country, the basics of life? Or is it, as the prayer says, give us? It's a prayer for every person in any generation, no matter how rich or poor you are, that we come to God and say, give us today our daily bread. And so we're going to uncover three things that I think are helpful. We're going to acknowledge what ought to be acknowledged. When we pray this prayer, give us today our daily bread, we want to acknowledge something that ought to be acknowledged by everybody. Secondly, that we crave what only God can provide. And thirdly, that we desire to be like Jesus. And so that's what I'm going to step us through this morning. Our Father in heaven, God is the source of life. God is the source of life. The Bible says, right at the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it doesn't take a wise person, a scientist, to work out that if that is the truth, if that's the gospel truth, then nothing in this world exists except for the fact that God made it. So the fact that we are here all together, flesh and blood, in this room with bread and with the bricks and the carpet and the ceiling, we're all here because God has willed it to happen. That's how the Bible begins. Whether you believe in a young earth or an old earth, the fact is that God made the earth. And the Bible goes on to express this and explain this. Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. He makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. When we pray to God, give us today our daily bread, we're acknowledging that all things come from him. And so without him, we don't have anything, whether the fridge is stocked or not. And so when we pray for our daily bread, it can be literal bread, as it says on the screen. Later on in the same Psalm 104, verse 30, it actually says that life itself comes from him. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The Bible teaches us that all of creation exists because the Spirit of God gives it life. It's by God's will that we're here. So our food and things come from the dirt. We've probably done ourselves a disservice by having supermarkets and such a separation between our mouths and where the food came from. I'm not a gardener. I probably wish I was, it's not going to happen in this lifetime. But I think that there's probably, for those of you who have veggie patches in your backyard, I imagine that there's just this closer connection to going out and seeing that you planted seed in the dirt and it became tomatoes, you know, and you plucked them and you ate them. And this didn't come from a tin in a shop. It came from the earth, the same earth that God has created. And not only does our food come from the dirt, but we come from the dirt. We've been made from the dirt, and to the dirt we return. And so when we're praying to God, give us today our daily bread, we're recognizing that he is the God who gives life to everything. In Romans 1:20, there's the problem of sin described as the fact that we don't thank God for everything, that we are thankless and praiseless. We presume on him so much. And so one of the things that we are doing when we pray this prayer is we're simply acknowledging that everything that we put in our mouths and on our bodies comes from God himself. So life comes from God. But not only life, also wisdom comes from God. In Deuteronomy 8, this is our first Bible reading we had this morning, it says, he humbled you. This is Moses speaking to Israel. Moses reflecting on the days as they were traveling through the wilderness and God provided that bread from heaven. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see that there was an intention for God to make the Israelites hungry so that they would turn to God and say, we need food. And God threw down bread from heaven, says, that's easy for me. I can do that. You pray for that, I'll give it to you. But there's this notion here, so that's the first part, that there was a God intended for Israel to notice something in that whole exercise. It's not just like going to a poker machine, pulling the handle and waiting for the money to come out. That God wanted there to be a relationship between their needs and the provision of those needs. And that is that God provides all their needs. But Deuteronomy says that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have a dependence on him which is fed, which is manifest in our wisdom. That we don't just know stuff, but we understand. And we live in response to our understanding. When we pray those simple words, give us today our daily bread, we're acknowledging that God provides us for everything, that God made us male and females with a brain that is able to understand the beginning, the end, the cause and effect, and we know that God, without God, we have nothing. Asking for bread is only the first step, but feeding on God from his word is eternal. And of course, when Jesus came into the world, John, the gospel writer, wrote that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that God himself became one of us. And the Word of God, the Bible that we've had for thousands of years, and it's been well tested and approved to be the authentic Word of God, we have this food that nourishes our soul, that guides us away from the follies and the foolishness of this world and guides us back to God. Have you ever had that experience where you've not read the Bible for a while? And by while, I might mean a year. And then something provokes you to get started again. Pick up the Bible and read it. And you suddenly realize within a day that, boy, what was I doing not reading it? It nourishes me. It feeds me. It reminds me of the goodness of God. Of course, it's not all straightforward and easy reading. But that's the joy of it. It's actually a book filled with wonder and awe and a beautiful message that you come to Jesus and he will feed your soul for life. This leads me to the next point. So the first, when we're praying, Father, give me today my daily bread, I'm acknowledging that nothing comes to me simply by my own efforts and ingenuity. We're dependent on God. Our every breath is dependent on him. But then our needs, the cry for bread has been answered. In the Old Testament, when Israel was wandering through the wilderness, they cried out. In fact, that's putting it in a pleasant way. It's described that they groaned, they grumbled. They grumbled and whinged and thought, this God that's led us out of Egypt has led us to a worse condition than we were in before. How much better was it back in Egypt, back in the days of slavery? Was better than this freedom stuff because we had all the food that we needed. In Exodus 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. They were grumbling in the wilderness and crying out to God via Moses, that we are hungry, we're starving. God says through Moses, I will give you so much bread, you'll have enough for every day. But I'll test you. You know, I'm sure you know the story, that if you gather more than one day's worth, it will rot, and you'll have to deal with the rotten food. But you go out every day and just collect enough for that one day, and that'll be great. As much as you think you need for that day. Not too much, not too little. God is generous. Take as much as you think you need. But don't take more, because that's too much. And then, of course, there's the caveat that on the sixth day, take 2 days' worth, so that on the seventh you don't have to go out and collect that day. And miraculously, that food wouldn't go off. So it's clearly a gift from heaven for the people of Israel. They grumbled, but we're told to ask. We're not told, grumble to God for bread. We're told, Lord, give us today our daily bread. And God provided the food for each day. It was a test to them to see how much, do they trust the Lord? Do they understand the relationship that he's a generous God and he gives exactly what you need? When Jesus was here on earth, and our second Bible reading was from John 6, and Jesus made an astounding statement to the people who had a profound knowledge of this history. They had in their DNA, their cultural DNA, a history story of when God fed them bread from heaven. Jesus said to that very people, "I am the bread of life." Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When Israel was crying out for bread, they're crying out for literal bread. But friends, the Bible actually says there's something more that we need from God. And it's not just food for the belly. It's something that will last for eternity and satisfy for eternity. Jesus himself gave this metaphor that while he is God become flesh, he's actually the bread that we need. He is the sustenance for all of our life. And we remember this as a church community, like all churches across the globe, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as Jesus, on the night that he was going to the cross, he declared that this bread meal that you have annually as the Jewish people, I want you now to think that this bread is no longer a Passover lamb that you've killed and put blood on the door. This is now the Passover lamb. This is now the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so when Paul was reciting what Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed, Paul said, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So God is not only the God who sustains our life, gives us everything we need for this physical world and wisdom to understand the way the world works and who he is and how to worship him, but he is also the God who gives us eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, the God who became flesh has become the bread for us. And when we eat and remember his one true sacrifice, we're remembering that we're not just sustained temporarily, but we're sustained eternally. We will live forever when we put our trust in him. And friends, the cute circle in all this is that God, by sending Jesus, has dealt with our grumbling. In Israel's grumbling, they're asking for physical bread. When we sin, God says, "I will fix that too. I will come into the world and sustain you." So there's my first two points. Let me recap, because I think the third one that I'm about to lead into, I think is so nourishing, so helpful. When we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are acknowledging and praising God that everything we eat and put in our clothes, the shelter above our beds, is from God. He is a God who creates, and he's created you, and he's created me. Thank you. Thank you, God. And give us today our daily bread. I need to be sustained, and without sustenance I will die. But I want more than just temporary sustenance. I want eternal life. And we thank you, God, that you sent Jesus into the world to give us that. But thirdly, God will sustain us in self-sacrifice. God will sustain us in self-sacrifice. In all your ways, in the book of Philippians, Paul says to the church, in all your ways, be like Jesus. In the way that you live this life, be more like Jesus. That's what we want, isn't it? That when you come to Jesus and you understand he is the perfect human, he is God become man, he's the perfect man, and we want to be more like him, we want to follow him. When you are a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus, and so you want to be more like him. Well, in Philippians 2, we're told what it means to be like him. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So can you imagine coming to God in prayer and then in our prayers disobeying what we're told quite plainly here, to just take care of your own interests? But we're told, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So even when we pray, we're looking for the interests of others above ourselves. Why? Because that's what Jesus demonstrated. That's who he is. And we're told, boy, that's small font, isn't it? It's on our sermon outline. You can look at your sermon outline. We're told in verses 5 to 8, In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So what did Jesus demonstrate? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, this is your Lord. This is the Son of God. This is the one that this Christmas we are going to come together and sing songs and praises, that God has not left us in the dark, but he has sent his one and only Son into this world so that we can have eternal life. And this is the one who, in very nature God, did not keep all that to himself, but he lowered himself. Look at verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He made himself nothing. This is the attitude that we are to have in our life. When we pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And straight away afterwards, we're asking, give me today my daily bread. I think what we're asking is for God to sustain us in our act of self-sacrifice. That as we live this kingdom life, as we live as followers of Jesus, Lord, give me what is required to do this. And I want to suggest it's almost 3 points, but I think it's really just two, and one of them is bulked out. I want to just suggest two ways that when we're praying for this, what we're asking for. You know, are we asking for at least bread to get us through the day, or are we submitting to sacrifice our riches in order to have simply bread? Lord, give me my bread. Because I've got excess in my bank account, I've got excess in my fridge, I've got excess everywhere. I mean, we live in such a prosperous country. There's a website somewhere where you can plug in your financial details, even if you're on Centrelink. You think of the worst case scenario in this country, where you are getting some kind of support, and compare that elsewhere, you're still regarded as a rich person. Can you believe that? It doesn't feel like it, I know, because the price of things is expensive. But when we come to God, I don't think we're asking, Lord, I don't have any bread, give me some. We're saying, Lord, I've got everything that you've given to me. Everything in my life I know comes from you. And so when I look at my wealth, and I don't mean we're rich, I just mean look at what I have. Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to do with this, because I know that you'll give me my daily bread. I know that I'll have all that I need. So when we're talking to God, we are, I think, thinking about finances, material things, where you live, what you've got in your bank account, all those sort of things, and not about what we need, but what we actually can even give. How can we share this? What can I do about this? You know, it's amazing that in our culture, over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, there's been a very famous financial book put out, The Barefoot Investor. And all the banks are following the lingo that's in that book, and it just has a really simple formula. You keep some of the money to spend on what you need today. You put some away for what you will need to spend in the future, and then you give the rest away. And it boils down to something like, I mean, you can juggle the percentages, but it looks something like 60% for your food, your petrol, your all those things, 60% of whatever you're getting, that's for that. 30% can go to future spending. One day I will want to retire. One day I would like to have a holiday. One day I think I'll need to upgrade the car. I don't need a new car today, but I'll put it away so that I can have a new car. Do you see how it works? 10%, give it away. Give it away. You're not actually giving anything away. You're just saying, look, Lord, 100% of this wealth is from you. I've already acknowledged this. Point one of the sermon. Give us today our daily bread, Lord. I thank you that everything I've got is from you. And now, Lord, how can I live for the kingdom? How can I live for you and still have my daily bread and be so thankful for what you've given me? Of course, percentages are beautiful things because they work in all scales. Whether you have got the gift of generosity because God has been very gracious to you, or whether you struggle to put two coins together, that is also fits in a percentage ratio, doesn't it? So don't please accuse me of just asking you to hand over your money. But friends, we're going to have, I think, a report in a week or so about the church's finances. And you'll see it's on. It's not no secret. It's on the handout every week. We're falling behind, and the reality is, I don't think that we should be falling behind. I think we should have no problem meeting the budget. The question is, Lord, friends, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, submitting yourself to the Father who saved you for his kingdom that is way better than your kingdom because his is eternal, for his will to be done, which is for Jesus to reign in your life and in the world, for people to be saved and for lives to be transformed. And we pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread and help me to be like Jesus in Philippians 2, that I will live simply and love my neighbour as I love myself. So we're praying financially, but I think also we're praying emotionally. If we are living sacrificial lives, it's not just about what we do with our money, it's also about what we do with our relationships and how we will bear with one another. We're about the Lord's Prayer is about to go into forgiving one another, so I think it tails into that. It's about how we give up our time, our energy, the way we relate to each other and show all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, selfness, something like that. And self-control. As long as you get the last one right, everyone thinks it's all good. Do you know, is that your plan? Would you like to be more like Jesus? Would you like the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life? Would you like to be not that guy or girl? Would you like to be someone who embraces others? Well, it's costly. Because it cost Jesus to make you right with him. It was not an easy feat. He didn't just go, oh, look, let's just get on with each other. No, he exited heaven, laid down his life, and bled and died for you. That's what forgiveness looks like. And so when we say, Lord, give us today our daily bread, I think we're also praying emotionally. Lord, I've got to have a conversation. Lord, I want to come to church and love, even though I feel my tank is empty today. Lord, give me today my daily bread. What will this day require of me? And I can't just focus on Sunday. It could be a hard Monday, a hard Tuesday, your whole week. What is God preparing you for? And you pray, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Help me to be like Jesus. Help me to trust you with everything. Help me to have the mind of Christ and to be transformed so that your will be done, your kingdom come. Friends, do you get the point? I've actually enjoyed focus on this prayer this week. It is a few things being asked of me, and it's hard, but that this little prayer has been helpful. Lord, give me today my daily bread. Why don't we commit ourselves to God and give him thanks and praise that he knows what we need, and most of all, he knows that we need to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to put to death the idols in our life. And we know the Bible says that greed is idolatry. Lord, Israel grumbled. Help us not to grumble. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to calmly ask for you every day that you would provide our needs. Help us to know and remember every day that you are the God who provides. Help us to acknowledge you and thank you that you've provided for us, not just temporarily, but for eternal life. Lord, fill our hearts with joy, knowing that our life for eternity is found in Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would transform our lives. Help us to pray each day that you would provide for us and sustain us in self-sacrifice. Lord, please help us to be like Jesus, but Father, we pray you'd be kind to us along the way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.